The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, where it's talking about Idehen, the various holidays of the idolaters, brings the following. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Oda Cheresh Eish Lehem Beremi Ahas Leshivim Shona. There's another holiday yet that was observed by the Romans, and this was a special holiday which they celebrated once every 70 years. Mevin Odom Sholem. They would bring a person who was physically fit and physically well, umarkivna say al odem chigar, and then they would put him on the shoulders of an odem chigar, of one who was crippled, and he would ride him. Umalbishin I say big de odem arishin, and they would dress the odem shalom, the one who was physically fit, in the clothing of Adam Arishin, the first man. Umeinichin lai bereishai kakiflai shalab Ishmael. And they would put on his head a mask which was made from the flesh of Rabbi Ishmael. Rashi explains the clothing. Or Rashi says like this, but the kapakfila shalab Ishmael Cain Godel, he was the high priest, umeharuge malchus hoyo, and he was during the time when the Romans came to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, he was from those that they killed. Umeteich yofye, he was very handsome. Nichnas Belay Beis Kesar, the daughter of the Caesar, was very infatuated by his looks. So Hifshit Or Ponov, after they killed him, they took off the skin of his face, the Chomto Bafasomin, and they embalmed it, Shitei Mikuyemis, in order that it should hold its original form, the Leishtane. And what are they doing with it? And they kept it. Vedain Munach begins a Raimi, and Rashi says that it's still concealed in the treasure houses of Rome. So they would take this mask and they would put this on the Odom Sholem, on the person that was physically fit. Betolu lo lebitzavore mitkal reish zuzet de piso, and they would take a certain precious stone which was called piso pors. Rashi says, "Who even you kora admi od ve'ena motzi ba'olam." It's a very precious stone, and it's extremely rare. And they would take mitkal. This was a great measure, of this stone. They had a lot of it, and they would hang it as a chain, a jewel chain around his neck. Rashi brings that the Gemara brings train istere pisa nochas la'alma, that there were only two measures of this rare stone came into the world. One measure went to Rome, b'chad b'chol elam kula, and the other went to the rest of the world. So Rome had the great share of this. They would make a beautiful jewel chain, a necklace, and they would hang it around his neck. U'mechapin es ha'shvokim b'inoch, and then, in honor of the holiday, they would take and cover the marketplaces with precious jewels. They would cover the walks. Umachrizin lafonov, and they would declare in front of this person, Sach Kirei Plaster, that the declaration of the years of the king is not true, is a lie. What is this referring to? That this, that Yitzchok, this was the father, Yitzchok was the father of Esav, and Esav was their father, so they gave him a very honorable title where they called him, they called him like a king. So they said that his prophecy that Yaakov would rule is not true, because we see that our father Esav, he rules. Achva de Marona Zayafno. The brother of our leader, the brother of Esav, Yaakov, is a crook. Mayahani l'ramo b'ramusa u'lezayafna b'zayfnusa. What good did it do for him with all of his treachery and his crookedness that he stole the brochas from our father? Because we see that he's under our heel. Dechami, dechami, dechami chomi u'delechomi lechomi. Those who are zeche to see this will see it. But those who missed it will not see it, because it will not appear again in their lifetime. It's only done once every 70 years. U'misayomin, and then they conclude, bo, ochi, boy ledein kadyokum dein. But, boy ledein, how unfortunate it is for that one, they're referring to themselves, when the other one will stand up. This is a special holiday that they have in Rome once every 70 years. This is what they do. And let's see if we can find some meaning in this. Now for this we have to go to our Sedra. Pasha brings that Yitzchak married Rivka, and they had no children. And they entreated HaKadosh Baruch Hu for children, and Rivka became pregnant. By Yisreitzatzu Habonim Bikirbo. Then Pasuk Chof Beis, yes, she had a very difficult pregnancy. The children were turbulent inside of her. But and she says, if this is it, why do I need all of this? They went to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's counsel. Rashi tells us they went to the Beis HaMedrash Shel Shem. Now, just because you have birth pains, especially a tzaddikus like Rivka, where the Medrash says on Rivka that she was such a tzaddikus that she was capable theoretically of giving birth to the 12 tribes alone, which Yaakov's four wives did. So Rashi tells us, now it wasn't just birth pangs, but he brings from the Chazal, Abesenu Darsheo, Loshin Rizo, Kishaisa, Everes Alpis, first of all, Kishaisa, Everes Alpis, Keteris Shel Shem, the Eva Yaakov Rots, Umafaches Lotzes, Everes Alpis, Keaverizora, Esa Mafaches Lotzes. That when she would pass by the Beis HaMedrash of Shame, so then Yaakov would try to burst forth from the womb. When she would pass the houses of idolatry, then Esav would try to burst forth and go out of the womb. So first of all, she was having, this was a a enormous turbulence that was going on. We see from here also that they were totally opposite. One was drawn to the base of Medrash of Shem of Torah, and the other was drawn to the idolatry. Then Rashi brings Novachem Yisraitzitzin Zeim Zeo Meirivim Benach L'Shnei Olomais. Not only was this an unusual turbulence, there was a war going on there. States they were at war with each other. And what were they fighting over? They were fighting over both worlds. Now, firstly, why are the worlds theirs to fight over? And secondly, it states they were fighting over both worlds. So it seems that the worlds were theirs. And one wanted both worlds, this world and the next world, and the other wanted both worlds, this world and the next world. So there was an enormous war going on. And Rivka went to find out what's happening. Vayomer Hashem lo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came back with a prophecy to her. And he said, Shnei goyim bevitnech. There are two nations in your womb. Now firstly, from here we learn that these were not individuals, but these were nations. He says, this is what's going on. He said, not just two babies, but they are nations. Then Rashi tells us from the Chazal, Geim Ksiv. It's written Goyim, nations. Excuse me, it's pronounced Goyim, nations, but it's written Geim. Geim is from the word Gaon. Gaon is Loshen Geus. It means someone of great aristocracy, of nobility, Geus, of great pride and self-respect. So not only is it two nations, but nations of nobility, of aristocracy, nations that both have great pride and self-respect. And Rashi brings Elu Antoninus, the Rebbe, Shleiposku Me'al Shulchonam Leitzein Leitznein V'Lechazeres Leibim Meisacham V'Leibim Meisakshomim. An example of this, Rashi says, and this we had in Perikei LaMetzias, Rashi brought, that during the time of Rome's reign of Eretz Yisrael, the Caesar was Antoninus, and the prince of Yisrael at that time, who was from the house of David, was Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, Rabbi Yehuda the prince. And as it happened, though, they both were very friendly. They were on good terms. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda Nosi was able to gather all of the Chachmei Yisrael at that time, and he brought them to his house, and there they recorded the entire Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Nosi was just referred to as Rebbe, was the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, because it was through him, his efforts, that the Mishnah was not forgotten, the Torah Shebal Peh. But both of these people lived very princely. It states that it did not cease from their tables, not in the winter or the summer. Tznon or chazeres. These were fresh vegetables. Now, what are we bringing out here? So the Maral brings out here, he says, this is not to show that there were people that were interested in luxuries, because fresh vegetables is not luxuries. And this is not necessarily to show there were people who were trying to throw their money around either, because people who throw their money around do not necessarily throw it around on vegetables. So what is it bringing out? This is bringing out the geus, the chashivas, that they not only were they kings or were they princes, but they lived that way. In other words, that this is how their table should be set all of the time. The fact is, the Gemara brings on Rabbi Yehuda Nosi that he said he was enormously wealthy, and he came from royal blood, but he said that he never indulged in this world at all. Personally, he didn't indulge. But nevertheless, he lived like a prince, because this is the way a prince is supposed to live. So this is an interpretation Rashi brings, what the Chazal mean, that Geus Ksiv, that these would be nations. There are many nations that do not care that much about themselves. See? Or they're interested, there's some nations that are interested only in money. There are other nations that might be interested only in physical luxuries. But not all nations are interested that they should live kingly and that they should keep up the level. But this will be something which is specific by Esav. This is Rome that came from him, and by Yaakov, Israel, that came from him. And this we see. We see Rome. Rome always wanted to live very, they were interested in other things also, and they indulged in luxuries, but they always kept their status very, very high. Who came from Rome? Well, there was the great Roman Empire. This is why they were known as such a highly civilized people. They didn't live in the bush, and they didn't live in the jungles, and they didn't live in the deserts. Or if they did, they civilized it. But they lived in a very, very orderly fashion, which they were known for their cities and their industry, their water systems, their bathing, their commerce, their commercial areas. Who came from Rome? Comes from Rome are the European nations. England, France, Austria, Hungary, Germany. And we see that they always were very demanding of themselves, makpid, that this is how they must live. Well, you had other nations that were very happy to be in the desert, or to be in the bush, or to be in the jungle, wherever it might be. So this was the second, and the same thing we see from Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael went through a golus which is incomparable by any nation in the world. And they lived under the most difficult situations, and many times amongst the most impoverished situations and the most persecuted situations. But they always kept up their self-respect, wherever they were. They always kept up their standard of living. So this was the prophecy that came. Then it states further, Shnei Le'umim, not only will they be goyim, nations, and not only geim, that of nobility, but le'umim. What is a le'umim? Le'umim means a malchus. They will be kingships. They will be royalty, sovereigns, empires. So this is even more. Then it says further, Mimei Hiporedu. Once they come out of the womb, they will divide. From here we learn that they are entirely different from each other. Rashi says, Minamaim ehem nifrodim zel rishai vezel etumai. Incidentally, Rashi says on the Shnei Le'umim ein la'im ela malchus. But once they come out of the womb, then they are totally contrary to each other. One will go one way and the other will go to the other way. One will go to righteousness and the other one will go to wickedness. Further it states, Ula'om mil'om yemots. They will be two empires, two great sovereigns and kings, but one will draw strength from the other. Rashi says Vayish v'gdula. They will both never reign at the same time. Kishezeh kom, zeh nofel. When one will reign, the other one will be down. When the other one will be up, then the first one will be down. That non leinis malet tzur elamir churbonei shul Yushalayim. Tzur, Tyre. This will be one of the great cities that Rome will build up. This will only be great from the churban, from the destruction of Yushalayim. We will never see the great capitals of the world built up and Yushalayim built up. Or we'll never see the great capitals of Esav built up and Yushalayim. If Yushalayim will be built up, then theirs will be the churban. If theirs will be built up, then Yushalayim will be a very, very humble city. And the reason for this is because the Chazal say that Esav is a gazlan. He's a thief. He doesn't have greatness in his own. In the Bris Bein Abisorim, Kodesh Baruch Hu came to Avraham by the covenant between the cut parts. There he gave to Avraham a prophecy in which he saw the empires which would come into the world and stand up against Klal Yisrael. And there he showed him Rome symbolized as a gozel, as a bird, a dove, a certain bird, and its name is Gozel, to tell us that Esav is a gazlan, is a thief, and he will build up his nation from the churban, from the destruction of Yerushalayim. Further, then it states Rav Yavai Tzoir. But in the end of days, the older one will serve the younger one. This was the prophecy. The Torah goes on to say that Vayimlu Yomeh Haloledes, it came time for Rifti to give birth, v'hinei somim bevitno, and there were twins in her womb. Vayetze horishen admoni kula kadere seor. The first one went out, and he was all red, and he was covered with hair, and they called him Ayikrushmei Esav. Rashi says, admoni, he was red, this is a sign he's going to be a shefik dom, he'll be a murderer. Kula kadere seor, mole sar, full of hair, like a talis shel tzemer, like a garment, a woolen garment. This means that he was totally mature when he was born. Vayikru shmei Esav, akol korakein, lefishu yanasev enigma besarei, kibin shonim harbe. Esav is from the word asu, that he was already complete, like a child already a few years old. And he came out first. Achrechein, and then afterwards came out his brother Yaakov. V'yodei ochezes ba'akev Esav, and his hand was holding onto the heel of Esav. Vayikroshmo Yaakov, and they called him Yaakov. Simon, Rashi says, this is a sign, shein zeh maspik ligma malchusai, that the first one who will want to be the king first, he will not be able to complete his kingship, until the second one comes and takes it away from him. That's why Yaakov is grabbing onto the heel of Esav. From the fact that we see that Esav was born first, and he was full of hair like a full-grown baby, this we see that he was Korav, he was close to the physical world. This is why he was born first, and he was totally physically mature. While Yaakov was more of the Nister, more concealed, and came out last. And Yaakov, Esau would go up front. He would be the aggressor up front. But in the end, Yaakov will take him by the heel and throw him over. Further it states, Vayigdul ha'na'orim, Vayesog isha de'atzayit ishodeh. The lads grew up, and Esau was a person who knew how to hunt. He was a man of the field. Rashi says on Yudea's side, he knew how to hunt. Lotzud v'larama says ovi b'fiv. He knew how to deceive. A hunter is a deceiver. Because how do you hunt? He puts up a trap for an animal that an animal can't see. The animal innocently walks into the trap. Or he puts up a lure, something to tempt the animal. Or he hides in the bushes where the animal can't see, and then he comes, all of a sudden he shoots him. So that's how we learn the word Said, that he would hunt and deceive his father with his mouth. From here we learn that Esau had the Midah and the Keach of Sheker. Now, this also shows that he was from this world, from the physical world, because this world is known as the Alma de Shikra, as the world of deceit. Why is this world known as the world of deceit? The next world is known as the world of Emes, because this world deceives a person. This is what we see, but there's an inner part to the world. There's a soul. The soul we do not see. We only see the outside physical shell, and therefore deceives. It's called Olam Haloma. Conceals what's inside of it. It's like a fruit. If you do not see what's inside, you just see the shell on the outside. And it can deceive a person. And Esau was very close to this world. He was going to become a master of this world. And therefore he was the master hunter. He was such a good hunter that he could even hunt his father. And it's interesting to note, how did he hunt his father? So Rashi tells us, Shola Abba, he would ask his father, Heach Masrinas HaMelech, how do you give Maisher, the tenth that you have to give to the Levi, how do you give it on salt? That's at heaven. And how do you give it on hay? Sovarovim Shumadaktik V'mitzvahs. His father thought. He's so medactic in mitzvahs, he's so particular and careful and exacting when it comes to fulfilling the mitzvahs. In other words, he projected how would he deceive and hunt his father with false righteousness. He showed his father, or he projected an image of being very, very religious. Frumkeit, he would project it to his father. His father thought. This is why Yitzchok was so attracted to Esau. He says, my son is so medaktik b'mitzvahs. But from here we see something else. That Esau would have a power of deceit. But how would he deceive people? With false righteousness. There are certain nations that are evil. They don't necessarily try to cover up their evilness. There are other nations that are evil. They'll conceal their evilness. But the meter, the quality of Esau will be a nation, a people, that will be the ultimate of evilness, but will project the ultimate of righteousness to deceive the people. And this we see. We see this in the church. The greatest force of anti-Semitism throughout the last 2,000 years has been the Christian church. Wherever they had power, that's where the worst persecutions were. That's where the worst pogroms were. Be it Spain, Portugal, which was all motivated by the church. Be it in Bohemia, Poland, and so forth. And what institution would project the image of ultimate righteousness? This was the church. So this was Esav. And this was all because he had a very, very strong link to the physical world. Then it states on Yaakov, he's the opposite, Ishtom, Yeshiva Olim. Rashi says, Ishtom, what does it mean, Ishtom? Ein aboki b'chol elu, keli b'kein piv, mi she'en achorif l'ramis koritam. Tam is a word which means someone who is innocent. Rashi says, someone who is not capable of lying and deceiving people, you refer to him as a very, very pure, innocent person. This was Yaakov. Yoshev, and this because this was Midas HaEmes. So it says, Titein Emes Li Yaakov. Yaakov became the ultimate in truth because he was to become the Baal Torah. And the inner world, spiritual world, that's the world of truth. This world, we see a lot of untruths, a lot of distortions of perfect justice. What did Yaakov do with his time? Yoshev Olim, he dwelled in tents. Rashi says, Olo shall shame, but Olo shall Eber. The tents of shame and the tents of Eber, this was the Beis HaMedrash. Yaakov was to become the Ish Torah. So here we have the background of these two brothers. Now, after that we have another chapter. It states, Vayozid Yaakov Nozid. Well, it tells us, I skipped one possible good state, Vayav Yitzchok es Esav Kitzai Befim. Yitzchok loved Esav because he used to bring his hunting to Yitzchok to eat, but the Chazal dashed, he would hunt Yitzchok, he would constantly deceive his father. This is how what we mentioned. But Rivka Eves es Yaakov. Rivka saw through this cloak of concealment, like this world has a cloak of concealment. She saw through it, and she saw inside the panemius, and she saw the purity, she saw the evilness of Esav, and she saw the purity of Yaakov. Ohevah says Yaakov, and she loved Yaakov. And then the Torah tells us a story. Vayozid Yaakov Nozid, Vayove Esav min asode v'hu oyif. Yaakov was making a porridge. What was Yaakov doing making a porridge? Because Abraham, his grandfather, had died that day, Rashi explains. And because Avram died, so Yitzchok was now in mourning. He was sitting Shiva. And by the mourners, the first meal, they're not allowed to eat from their own. Others have to bring them. And the custom is to serve them something round. So this was what Yaakov was doing. It was a bean porridge. Vayove Esav min asode v'hu oyif. And Esav came and he was famished. And Rashi tells us he was famished because he had just committed all kind of sins that day, including Ritzich, including murder. And he came and he was starving. And he told, and Esav told Yaakov, Haliteni no min odem odem azeh, give me from this red porridge. Ki oyef anochi, because I am just totally starving and I'm fatigued. Al kein karosh my Edom. Therefore they called him Edom. Esav, Malchus, his empire was known as Edom, and many, many great kings came from there. Rome was one of them. Rome was the main one. But his empire was called Edom, but it seems very strange. It says because the porridge was red, therefore they called him Edom, which doesn't make too much sense. We'll see if we can explain that in a minute. Vayomer Yaakov. So Yaakov said, Michra kayemes beheros kali. Yaakov said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you from the porridge, but you have to sell me your birthright, because you're the firstborn. He says, look, I'm going to die anyhow. Why do I need this firstborn birthright? So Yaakov says, all right, if you'll sell it to me good, I swear. So he swore to him. He sold his firstborn birthright to Yaakov. Yaakov nosan leis of lechem on azid adoshim. Yaakov gave him a good meal. And vayecha vayesht, he ate and he drank, vayokom vayelach, and he got up and he went, vayives Esav es habechera, and Esav disgraced the firstborn birthright. Now this seemingly doesn't make too much sense. The Maral explains this in a number of places. In accordance to the Medrash, this is in the Pirkei Rav Lezer, that what was going on here? The firstborn birthright is the Zkus HaKohuna. The Kahanim, that there's one Shevet that are Kahanim, that Shevet Levi, and only one family in Shevet Levi, one family from Levi, and that was Aaron and his sons, have the Zkus HaKohuna, where they can go, and they are the representatives of Klal Yisrael in the Avedis Beis HaMikdosh, where they bring the korbanos, the sacrifices, and so forth, and all of the matones, the chumas, the maestras, and so forth, were given to them. This was all later. It wasn't originally meant to be that way. This was only after the golden calf. But originally, the Shevet Kahanim would be made up of the Bechor, of the firstborn of every family. He would represent the family, he would serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would have the special Kiddush V'Kiddashtem. They were sanctified. At the golden calf, they lost it because they sinned, and Shevet Levi was the only tribe that didn't sin, so it was given to them. But meanwhile, here it was the firstborn, and this went to Esav. And this bothered Yaakov very much. He says, Rosh Hazu Eina Kedai Lazeh, this Rosh, he's going to represent us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov wanted it. This is what Yaakov wanted. And why did Yaakov want it? Because Yaakov was capable and destined to become the master of the spiritual world. He was capable and destined to become the great spiritual force for the world. And this is why we see that when he was in the womb, he was already drawn to the Beis HaMidrash, Shoshem. And this is why we see that he was an Ish Tam, an Ish Emes, and Yeshiva Olim. He spent his days learning. And ultimately he fulfilled this, where he became the spiritual giant of the world. Esav, on the other hand, his nature was drawn to the physical world. Now this was not, didn't have to be. These were their natures. They could have done otherwise for themselves. What they gained, whether it was good or not good, this was through their own bechira, through their own choice and their own toil. But Esav's nature was drawn to the physical world, like we saw consistently. Initially, both wanted both. They wanted everything. And these were two enormous giants that were going to change the face of the world. As we saw, the prophecy came. He says, these are not two children. These are two goyim, these are two nations. And geim, and nations of nobility, and of great great pride and arrogance and self-respect, and Ula Om, Malchus, emperors, and from them will come the greatest nations in the world. So both wanted both, everything, and this is what they were fighting over in the womb, and this is what Rivka was going through. That's why it says Merivim Mishnei Lach Nachlis. They both wanted everything. Here Yaakov came to the realization you can't have everything. So he told Esav, I'll make a deal with you. Give me your schus bechora. Give me your right to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu up front. And I will give you my portion in this world. Esav said, well, before I'm going to give it away, tell me what it is. So he told him. He says, this is the right to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you get reward for this in the next world. Plus Rashi brings, he told them, because of this, the rules are very strict. If you serve in the Beis HaMikdosh and you shtu yayin, you drink too much wine, you chai miso, could cost you your life, and so forth. When Esav heard all of this, he said, Anochi halech lomus, v'lomus eli bechora. He says, I don't believe in the next world. I'm going to die here. So don't talk to me about the next world. If this has no value to me in this world, then I have no use for it. This is why the Chazal brings Mayibes Esav es bechora. He disgraced the birthright. Mikan shekofar Esav b'tchias hamesim. He denied the next world. On the other hand, he said, if you give me your portion in this world, that's something I'm interested in, because this is the world I want. Esav wasn't interested, like many today, you have wealthy entrepreneurs, or you have a millionaire, or you have a billionaire that want a lot of power and a lot of money. No, that was small stuff for Esav. Esav wanted the world, the whole world. And we see this is what the Caesars of Rome wanted. The Caesars of Rome were out to conquer the entire world. That's what Esav wanted. So he says, give it to me, and you'll have a deal. Yaakov said, Ishoveli, swear. And they made a deal. And it was at that time that Esav gave whatever he had in the next world to Yaakov, and Yaakov gave whatever he had in this world to Esav. Because of this, symbolically, the porridge was red, Esav was called Edom. It doesn't mean because of the porridge Esav was called Edom. It means because of what took place with the porridge, Esav was called Edom. The Medrash brings everything about this nation is red. It states their name is red, their land is red. Brings it, the land which was was appropriate to Esav is of a reddish color. It brings their clothing were red, their leaders and the kings would wear red. And it brings that the reason why is because they worship the sun, and the sun is red. And this is why they were called Edom. It's interesting note, why do they worship the sun? Because they're not interested in anything that's second best. The most powerful force in the physical world is the sun. The sun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Mor HaGodol. He made the sun as the king of the physical world. It's the sun that physically controls everything in this world. Not only in this world, it controls the entire solar system. Now, Esau, this giant, this is what he looked at. And therefore, there God was the son. And therefore, through this, they became known as Edom. Now, let's go back now to the Gemara, which we started with in Aveda Zora. And we will be able to get a better explanation in this Gemara. And this is elaborated on by the Maral LeNetzach Yisrael Perek Tes Zayin. The Gemara says as follows. Omer of Yudah Mashmul, Od Acheres Yesh Lehem Bereimi Achas Leshiv Mishono. There was another holiday yet, which was celebrated by the Romans once every 70 years. Incidentally, we should make note here that Malchus Edom, this empire, the Chazal tell us, is the most powerful of all of the empires. Of the four great empires that would stand up to conquer Klal Yisrael, the first one was Babel, Babylonia. They destroyed the first base of Migdash. And then the second one was Modai Paras, the Syrian Median, Persian Empire. That was Ahasuerus. They are the ones who all together with Haman almost destroyed all of Israel. They ruled over the whole world. There was a second empire. They had destroyed the first empire. And then the third empire was Yovan, the Greek empire, who destroyed them. And they marched into Eretz Israel during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And Timu Esaheko, they caused it to become impure. This was the story of Hanukkah, which we will speak about next week. But then eventually they were conquered by the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire is the one who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, made us go into Golus, into exile, and for 2,000 years we are still in that exile. Now they, the Chazal tell us, is the strongest of all of the empires, and this is Esau. And no one will conquer them except the Melech HaMashiach. This is how strong they are. So, there was yet another holiday that they had, once every 70 years. Why would they make this once every 70 years? So the Maral explains, because this was not a personal holiday. This was a national holiday. This was not the celebration because of any individual. This was rather a celebration which was to declare and describe the nation itself. And once every 70 years is considered to be like once in a lifetime. All right. What would they do? Mevin Odom Sholem. They would bring a person who was very, very physically fit and perfect. Rashi tells us, Keneged Esau. This represented Esau, like we learned. Esau was the prince of the physical world. Then they would Markivin, I say, Alodom Chigar. They would bring a crippled person. This represented, Rashi tells us, Keneged Yaakov. Why crippled? Solea al Yerechai. Because in next week's Parsha, in 2 weeks from now, by Yishlach, there Yaakov wrestles with an angel. Who was the angel? Sorishel Esau. The angel was the angel of Esau. And that angel is able to wound Yaakov. And Yaakov was Saleah al Yerechai. He wounded him in his thigh. This was the Gid Anosha, a nerve. And Yaakov lived after that. This showed that Esav will be able to harm Yaakov, and he'll have some power over him. So therefore they bring a crippled person, and umarkivin Esav, and they would take the one who was physically perfect, and they would put him on the back of the crippled one. What did this show? This showed who's ruling who. For example, when you ride a horse or a donkey, so who's in charge? The rider's in charge. This is what this was to be symbolic of. That they would celebrate, the Yiddish Golus. We are still in charge. Then they would bring Balbishin, I say, Bigde Odom Arishen. They would bring the clothing of Odom Arishen. And they would take the mask of Rabbi Shmuel, like we mentioned, the pisa, and they would put on his neck the weight of 200 zuz of paws, which was this very, very rare jewels, as a chain around his neck, and they would cover the streets with precious jewels. Four things are mentioned here. First of all, the clothing of Odom Arishen. Secondly, the mask of Rabbi Shmuel Kain Godel. Thirdly, the pisa, the chain of this precious stone, paws. And fourthly, the streets of the city. Odom Arishen, the Maral explains, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him, he gave him two gifts. The first gift was B'tzalmeinu Kidbutzeinu, let us create Odom in our image, B'tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. This was the greatest gift which was given to Odom Arishon. And then also was given to him Kosnesh Or. Kodesh Baruch Hu made for Odom and Chava clothing. And then it says that, then the Chazal tell us in the Ksuvim, it states that he was Ma'ata them, the Hodor, and he made them beautiful. Now these were the two milas which were given to Odom. The Chazal tell us that Yaakov and Esav together, they were to be the two giants of the world. So they inherited the milas, the attributes of Odom Arishon, of the first man. Yaakov, that was to be the spiritual giant of the world, he inherited the Tzelem Elokim, the attribute of the Tzelem Elokim that he was made, Odom was made in the Almighty's image. Esav, who was to be the physical giant of the world, or the giant of the physical world, so he inherited the clothing of Odom Arishon. Now, let's elaborate this on this for a minute. The Gemara tells us in Bamitzia, the Peidale Roman Aleph, that Yaakov was very, very beautiful. But not only was beautiful and handsome, but more than that, he was radiant. It says no one was radiant like Yaakov. The fact is, the Gemara says, Shufra de Yaakov me'ein Shufra de Odom Arishon. The radiance of Yaakov was that of the radiance of the first man. And we find also that Tzuras Echoku Kalkis Yaakovet, the image of Yaakov's face, was hewed out on the throne of the Almighty. Now the Tzelem, the image that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed in man, the Chazal tell us that where does this show itself? It shows itself basically through the Or Ponim, through the radiance of the face. Actually, that's how man is nikur. How do you identify someone? You identify someone by his face. Many times you look at someone and he's turned around, you can't see his face, you don't know who he is. The tzelem, the image, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued Adam HaRishon with, that mainly manifests itself through the or ponov, through the radiance of the person's face. The light that a person has is basically on the face. There's a Gemara that states, also in Bava Metzia, that one of the Amoraim, the rabbis of the Gemara, came across the grave of Adam HaRishon. They asked him, what did he see? He said, I saw the two heels of his two feet were as bright as two suns, two great suns in the sky. What was he bringing out? Because the heel is the furthest part of the body from the face, and therefore it's the darkest part. It's always kept dark. He wanted to show how bright the Tzelem Elokim, the image of Hashem, was in Adam HaRishon, that even his two heels were as bright as the sun. Now, this was Yaakov. And this is what Yaakov inherited. This, incidentally, is why we mentioned that the angel of Yaakov, the angel of Esav, was able to have some control over Yaakov, where he injured him. But where did he injure him? He injured him in the leg, and in the yerech, the thigh. The Gemara says that Yeshi b'seisa, that's always concealed in darkness. Only there was he able to injure him, because that's furthest away from the tzelem, from the image of Hashem. Otherwise he wouldn't be able to injure him at all. So therefore, Yaakov inherited the tzelem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the image. Esav, he inherited the clothing of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam. And these are the Bigdei Chabudais in our Parsha. When Rivka told Yaakov, go quickly, I'll give you the two goats, take them to your father and tell him that you're Esav. So he said, but our father will touch me and he'll see I'm not Esav, I'm smooth, I'm not hairy like him. So she said, I'll put on the Bigdei Chabudais. He will recognize it's not me. I'll put on the Bigdei Chabudais. She took the Bigdei Chabudais. These Bigdei Chabudais, the precious clothing, these were the clothing which Esav, through a number of chain of events, ended up with from Adam HaRishon. And that's why he used to keep him in his mother's house, because they were very, very valuable, and he wouldn't trust his wife with them. So Esav inherited the clothing. Why did Esav inherit that? Just like Yaakov inherited the tzelem, because he inherited the spiritual part of Adam HaRishon. So Esav inherited the physical part of Adam HaRishon, but when we say the physical, we say the kovod, the honor. If you recall, we mentioned before that both of these nations, Esav also, would be very, very makpi. They were very, very demanding of their nobility and their honor. And therefore they were, this he inherited from Adam. The clothing of a person, the Gemara brings, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, honors the person. But that's a madregas, it's still a level of this world. It's not a level of the spiritual world, because that honor is always Klapia Am, how people will look at it. So this is what Esav inherited. And this goes hand in hand with what we were saying, is that they are a nation of a great pride. Then Next was the Kakapila Shareb Ishmael Kain Godl. The mask would be taken, which was made from the skin of the face of Rabbi Ishmael, who was extremely handsome, and this was placed on the person who was riding on the back of the other. Now this is another level, and this is the level of Yofi, of beauty. Now beauty is actually a spiritual quality. It's a spiritual quality which finds an outlet in the physical world. It's a spiritual quality because it comes from the light, and the light has its origin in the spiritual world. When there is no light, there can be no beauty. If there's no light, there's darkness. If there's no light, there's no color. Something that is colorless cannot have any beauty. So this is something which is really of a spiritual quality, and that's why we find it by Rabbi Ishmael Kain Godel. The Gemara also brings in Gittin, in the Sugi of Kamtso Bat Kamtso, it brings there about a young girl where her beauty was outstanding, and that was Tzofanto Bas Pniel Bas Kain Godel. That was the daughter of the Kain Godel. This is something which associates itself with the Kohen Godel, because the Kohen Godel goes into the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was known for its beauty. The fact is, Eretz Yisrael was known for its beauty. Yushalayim, it's brought that Asor Kavin Shel Yofi, 10 measures of beauty came to the world, and 9 went to Yushalayim. This was when Yushalayim was in its binyone and glory. The Beis HaMikdash was known for its beauty, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was known for its light. The Medrash brings that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said by Ior, let there be light, he created the Or, the light. Where did he bring it from? He brought it from the place of the Beis HaMikdash of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And there was the Oren, and the Oren, which held the Sefer Torah, the Medrash says was called Oren Shekule Or, because it was all light. So where you have light, then you'll have beauty. And since the origin of the light is a spiritual light, then Yofi is a spiritual attribute. And this is why we find it by the Kahanim and the Kohen Godel that would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But it manifests itself in the physical world, and it attracts great honor. People honor what is beautiful. People respect what is beautiful. And therefore, Esav wanted it, as we mentioned, because Esav was this great giant, but he was evil, but he wanted a standard of very, very, the highest standard of pride and covet and honor. So therefore he wanted this beauty. But it's interesting to note that the clothing that he inherited from Adam HaRishon, but the beauty he had to steal from Yisrael, okay, that he couldn't. The clothing was physical. It represents covet, honor, but it was physical. So he inherited that. That was his. But the beauty was Yisrael's. He had to steal it. And therefore they had to take it from Yishmael. And this goes hand in hand what we said before, Milom Yom Yamots, he will steal from the other. And Gozel, he's the Gazlan. He's able to steal a bit of it. He didn't have much beauty, it was a mask. but he's able to steal a bit of it, because it does have a tfisa, does have a place in this world, and Esav is the giant of this world. So this is what that represented. Then, so we had the image of the, we had the, is mentioned the, firstly, the big day, the begodim, the clothing of Adam HaRishon, and then the mask of Rabbi Shmuel that represented the beauty, and then the pizah, the rare jewels. Now that was even a level higher. Jewels represent beauty, but they represent something else also, especially when they're so rare. And this is on what Taisva says, that he brings from the Gemara, that only two measures of this pizah, of this pearls, came down to the whole world, and Rome took almost all of it. When something is rare, then its value is not, it is beautiful, but the value is not in the beauty, the value is in the rarity. This gives it quality. This gives it, this elevates it to be something of great importance. For example, when they find a jewel that is so rare, they say it's fit for a king, or it's fit for a queen. And this also is Esav, like we said. Shnei goyim, shnei geim, la'om. That's why they wanted these jewels. This was even a higher standard. So they would take the chain, and they would make a chain of paws, and they would put it around his neck to show the greatness of their empire, of their sovereignty. And this we find by their kings. If you ever read about the king and queen of Austria, or the king and queen of Hungary, or the king and queen, the royalty of Germany, or the royalty of France, or the king and queen of England, they have rare jewels which are kept under lock and key, and are only brought out sometimes once a year, or once a 5 years, or even once a lifetime. They have jewels that are brought out and used only for the coronation, only when they crown a new king or queen. This is like the Achaz B'Shivim Shonah, once every 70 years. And what is so magnificent about them? Their rarity. So this was that level. And then there's a fourth level. Machapim es hashvokim. They would cover up the streets of the main streets of the city and the marketplaces and where they were having these celebrations with precious jewels. Now why did they do that? Why are they covering up the streets with precious jewels? What does this show? The other showed Hashivas, the importance of the person, of the clothing, of the beauty, of the wealth, of the rarity of the jewels. This showed Hashivas Amokam. They place great importance in their physical dwelling places. There were many nations. There were nomad nations. You have gypsies, you have Arabs, what not. They never built up big cities. Even your Arabs, Yishmael, Torah says, you live in the deserts. Where's the cities? Palestine, where's the cities? Where is its capitals? The nomads, the wanderers, they're very happy if they have a little village and finished. You have other nations that will live, you have Eskimos. They're not known for their great homes and their great cities. You have Africa, they're not known for their great homes and cities. You have the American Indians, and so on. You have many nations like that. You got many in China. Rome. The Roman civilization was known for their cities, for their great cities. for their great great places of commerce, their great places of entertainment, their great places of luxury, their great duct systems, their water systems, the irrigation systems. The fact is, they're still digging them up. Wherever they dig them up, it becomes a big deal. Look what we found. This is what they were known for. And they were known for their homes, their castles, and their fortresses. And their homes had a whole complex of highly sophisticated, they were highly sophisticated living standards and highly sophisticated baths and whatnot that could equal 20th century. Now, if you look at their successors, if you go to the libraries and they'll have books on the great homes and the stately homes and the great palaces and the great castles, it's unbelievable what you'll see there. If you see the great palaces of Hungary and the great castles of Germany and the great castles and palaces of France and the great homes of England, it's unbelievable. I mean, that we don't even have a conception, and today they'll have homes that have 1,000 rooms, homes that have 2,000 rooms, and they were built so strong that after 800 years or 900 years, today you build a home 30-40 years and it's a schmatter. 800 years, 900 years, 1200 years, 1500 years, still there. Esav was makbir on his mokum. His mokum, his place, meant was very, very dear to him. And there's a simple reason why. Because if this world was his, this was his. What is this world if you don't have a place? It was these nomad tribes or these other places that seemed to have very little connection with this world. But Esav, this was his world. And he developed it and he built it. So this is what this showed. They would in some places, you go out some places here in the country, there's no roads. You go out other places, there'll be maybe a sand trail. You go out to another place, all right, there's a road of stones. And then you get a little better and you'll have a little paving until you get your super highways. But no place do you have a road of jewels. This is what they made for this holiday. They made their roads full of jewels because this is what they held this world to be. In converse, it states, you'll never see, even though Klal Yisrael was not a nomad tribe and they lived also a very, very, like we brought before, a very, very sophisticated standard, but you'll never see, and I've never seen yet in all of these books in the libraries on the great homes and palaces, where it should speak of the great homes and palaces of the Jews. So some want to say, well, because they were pushed from one land to the other. No, they were, even though they were pushed from one land to the other, they managed to do what they wanted to do. No, and that's what's brought up here. It says Yaakov was Yoshev Olim. Yaakov said he dwelled in a tent. He wasn't going to invest that much into the physical world, because he knew this was not his world. Esav, this was his world. He invested everything in it. But the Jew knew this was not his world. As long as he can live a nice standard, it's good. But more than that, he's not going to invest. And this is why we don't find them in the books. Now, then they shout out, Sakiri Plaster. They say that our grandfather Yitzchok, the brachas he gave when he said that Yaakov will end up on the top over our father, it's a lie. It's a lie, because you see, here we're ruling and they're down on the bottom. And this was the symbol of the man riding
the cripple. And Ma'anile Ramoy Baramusa, the crook, the swindler. What did he gain with his crooked eye, with his swindle? He stole the brachas from our father and didn't do him any good. The moral brings, he says, it's ksatz emes. There's truth in what they're saying. Ksatz emes, a bit of truth. Not all, a bit. Because had Yitzchok loved Yaakov, and had he given him the brachas with his full heart and full knowledge, then Esav would have never been able to rule over Yaakov. But the reason why we find that Esav could be on top for so long, that was because the brachas had to be taken from Yaakov, from Yitzchok through the side door, and he never gave it to him b'chol libay. Only afterwards did he say gam boruch hiya, let him be boruch. Because of that reason, Esav was able to get some hold on Yaakov. And then finally, it's concluded, O Messiah Momin Voy Ledain Ki Yokum Dain. They know that ultimately that the good days that they have are not forever. They're limited. And he says, Voy Ledain Oi to the one, the other Masholem, who's riding, when the one who's down on the ground, when he will get up. Because there's a day when he will get up and he will throw off the other one from his back. And that will be the end of Esav. And that's what we learned, that Yodei Be'akev Esav, that the second one came out and he was holding on to the heel of Esav. Simon, this is a sign, Shelo Yigmor, that the first one will never be able to complete his reign, until this one comes and takes it away from him. And that, the Chazal tell us, will be when the Melech HaMashiach will come, and he will make war against Esav, and he will destroy him. Then Yisrael again will become the Malchus. They will inherit the kingship of the world. This is the explanation in this Gemara, in accordance to the Sedra, and we should see the fulfillment of this b'mheirah b'yameinu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.